It's a privilege to be with you today and to be part of worship here over in Bangor. I've been in the building before, but I've never been stood up here with people here. So it's really, really good to see you all. If you've got Bibles, we're going to go to Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. Mark's Gospel and chapter 8 and verse 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand? Before I came, a pastor at Kimmel Bay, about getting on for 9 years now. I was an engineer, civil engineer, and we'd originally from Prestatyn in just down the coast, but moved away to Northwich with my job, and I was working with British Waterways, the canal people on bridges and all that sort of thing. But we lived in Northwich, and I don't know if you know Northwich at all, but every day I used to pass Roberts's Bakery, okay, as in bread. And there's this gorgeous smell of bread every time you pass Roberts's Bakery. And so we used to get into the habit of every time you pass, literally, it didn't matter if it was raining, you'd press the button and the window would go down and you'd just get this gorgeous smell of bread, of fresh bread. And I did this for years. In fact, I did it for 3 years before I realized that they'd got a three-story high plate glass window so that you could see the bread going round on the carousel. I'd never noticed it, ever. I'd love the smell, but I'd never seen it. I'd never seen the bread going round on this carousel. Needless to say, I went to have my eyes tested, and the rest is history. But you know, sometimes we can't see the wood for the trees. Sometimes we just don't see it. We just don't get it, because we're too close to a situation. And I want to suggest to you that sometimes as God's people, as Christians, we've forgotten who Jesus is. Now that sounds a bit bonkers really, but we do, we just become so familiar with him. And I just want to ask you the question, do you get who he is? Do you see? Do you see the bread of life going around the carousel? Do you see Jesus for who he is? One of the interesting things as we go through scripture is that it was usually God's people who didn't get it. It was usually God's people that didn't get it. It was those that weren't God's people that got it. But it was those who knew God, but they failed to see Jesus. They fail to see who he really is. What I'd like to do is that I'd just like to do a bit of a run through. I've been reading the Gospels again recently. Thought about had my minister. So I've been reading through Mark's Gospel in particular, but I began to see through this lens of people not seeing who Jesus is. And if you go back to the birth of Jesus, if you go to those famous verses that we always read at Christmas to do with Jesus' birth in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. A virgin will give birth to a boy who will be called God with us. And if that wasn't enough, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born," we know the verses, "to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." there's going to be a baby born to a virgin who's going to be called Mighty God. You'd have thought they'd have got it, wouldn't you? Mary puts her hand up and says, I'm expecting a baby, and he's going to be called Mighty God. He's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the one who saves. But, you know, they just didn't seem to get it. Have you heard about that nun in Italy? She went, this is just in the news, she went to hospital with stomach pains. Baby. Sorry, that's just sort of linked to the birth of Jesus, really. She hasn't put a hand up there. And as far as I'm aware, nobody in the whole of history has put their hand up and says, do you know what? I've had a baby, and this baby is called God. Mary puts a hand up and says, I've had a baby, he's called God, and do you know what? It's not just me. The shepherds heard it as well, that he's going to be called God. And guys, magi from the east came and they said he's going to be called God. But do you know what? The people at the time didn't get it. Didn't get it. They'd been told hundreds of years earlier. Let's put the camera on a little bit to the time when Jesus is 12, 13. He's in the temple and he's discussing with students from Bangor University, within the theology department. He's discussing with people who know their Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus has gone there with his family, with Mary, with Joseph, with the wider family. It's Passover time. They've gone for a bit of a knees up. They've gone for a pilgrimage. They've gone to Jerusalem. They leave Jesus behind, careless, social services involved. Not really. Jesus is there and he's discussing with these guys and they say, how did he know all that stuff? And Jesus, oh God. You see, God knows stuff, doesn't he? But you know what? Didn't get it. Mary and Joseph come back to Jerusalem, they're panic-stricken, they don't know where Jesus has gone, and she chastises him, like mums do, chastises him, what have you done to her son? And Jesus said, didn't you know that I'd be in my father's house? And do you know what it says? It says, she didn't get it. You see, she was too familiar with Jesus. Have we become too familiar with who Jesus is? Jesus at 30 or so, about my age. Jesus at 30 or so, he's there, he's in the synagogue. And this is what it says in Luke's gospel. Turn with to me to Luke's gospel, chapter 4. And it says this, Jesus is in the synagogue, Luke's gospel, chapter 4, verse 16. He's in Nazareth, so he's in his hometown. And he's there on the Sabbath day, he's in the synagogue. And he goes there and he stands up to read. They hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And in verse 18, chapter 4 of Luke, he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It says that he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. The eyes of everybody looked at him and he says this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the people say, isn't that Joseph's son? That's Joseph's son. That's the carpenter's lad, isn't it? You know, I can almost see Jesus banging his head against a brick wall. Don't you get it? Don't you get who I am? I've lived with you. Don't you remember years ago when I was born and there was a bit of a, what's going on there? Don't you get it? Have we come too familiar with Jesus? There's a blind guy. Jesus gets mud on his face, goes and washes, he sees. How many people do you know that can do that? If you know them, right, let me have the number. I'll be their agent and I will let them go into the NHS. There's a guy with a shriveled hand in church, in the synagogue. And they're all waiting, aren't they? They're waiting to see what Jesus is going to do. Jesus knows what they're thinking. So he says to this guy, stand up, come to the front. They said, you can't do that on a Sunday. Saturday. You can't do that. Don't you know who I am? Oh, do you know what? I wonder what we're doing. Church, I do. I wonder whether we've just forgotten how powerful and mighty and who Jesus is. Have we become so familiar with him? Have we? Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. Paralyzed man, lowered through the roof, turns to the religious leaders, and Jesus says to them, what's easier to say? Is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven? Something invisible that you can't confirm? Or get up and walk? Well, as a minister, I quite like being able to pray with people and say, do you know what? Your sins are forgiven you because Christ has died for you. But do you know what? I was a bit nervous about telling people who are paralyzed to get up and walk. So Jesus says to them, I'll tell you what, just so you know that I can forgive sins and do the invisible, clicks his fingers and he gets to the, and the guy just gets up and walks. And they still don't get it. They still don't get it. They really don't get it. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter, the synagogue's ruler, from the grave. She's dead. Mark 5, verse 42, it says they are completely astonished. His disciples are in the boat. Jesus comes to them walking on the water. How many people do you know that could walk on water? Excuse me? And it says the disciples, chapter 6, 51, when he calms the storm, it says they are completely amazed. Don't get it, though. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus has fed the 5,000. And just previously in Mark chapter 8, he's fed the 4,000. The Pharisees are basically a thorn in Jesus' side. But before we reach that, we get verse 14. It says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. I don't know what your theology is on women in leadership, okay? But on the basis of the fact that the disciples are all blokes and they forgot the bread means women should be in leadership. You heard it first here. They forgot the bread, got nothing to eat. And Jesus in verse 15, he says this, be careful, Jesus warned them, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now it seems to me that Jesus is actually referring to Mark 8 and verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. And he sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? He's exasperated with the religious leaders. And so he says to his disciples, just watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. Be careful of the Pharisees. He was fed up of them. He was fed up of them. He was fed up of God's people because they'd become cynical. And he says, be careful of God's people that have become cynical. Jump back to Numbers 13, when the spies were going into the promised land. 12 spies going into the promised land, 10 come back, and what do they say? We shouldn't go in there because it's impossible. If we spend time with God's people who are cynical, we'll become cynical. It's really hard to raise your own game when you're spending time with people who just don't get it. If you're spending time with people who are always whinging about everybody else, you will become a whinger. We need to be careful as God's people. We do. That the yeast of the Pharisees is not working through the dough of our lives. And Jesus says, be on your guard against evil people who stir things up. The Pharisees were God's people. And Jesus says, be careful of those who are cynical. But verse 16, the disciples have missed the point, haven't they? What do? They get into a bit of a holy huddle. And they say to one another, verse 16, he's getting at us because we've forgotten the bread. We've only got one loaf. There's nothing for dinner. He's getting at us. I can just imagine Jesus throwing his eyes up, up to the ceiling. Head in hands, and he says, look, lads, you don't get it, do you? Let's have a look at this passage. Let me read this again with a bit of emphasis, okay? Chapter 8, verse 17. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about no bread? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have no eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They all looked to him. 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7. We've got the answers right. And Jesus says to them, verse 21, you don't get it, do you? You really don't get it. I'm not worried about the bread. I don't need bread. I'm God. If I want to feed you out of nothing, I'll feed you out of nothing. God created the earth ex nihilo, which is a clever way of saying out of nothing. He spoke and it happened. Have we become too familiar with Jesus? I worry, church, that we have, that we've come too familiar with Jesus. Where are your blind spots? I'm a motorcyclist, midlife crisis and all that. Passed me test. Just sold it, actually. Waiting for a better one to come along. But don't tell the wife. Different story. When I was doing my motorcycle training a couple of years back now, one of the things they got you to do is that every time that you turn or indicate, pull out, ever, you have to do that. You have to look in your blind spot. It's called a lifesaver because not everybody sees you. Where's your blind spot? Where's your blind spot? We can all have blind spots. I had a guy who emailed me this week from a congregation. He said, Pastor Gwyn, because they're very respectful. Pastor Gwyn, he said, I wonder if I could preach on Sunday. I realise you're away, and I wonder, I've got this message. Oh, no. So I emailed back, and, well, I didn't actually, I rang him and said, how many times have you preached in other churches? How many churches have called you to preach? And he said, well, none. I said, well, when 6 churches have called you to preach in your church, you can preach in mine. We get blind spots. Other people recognize the gifts in our lives. Don't put your hand up to lead worship if you think you can sing, if nobody else has ever recognized that you can sing. We have blind spots on what our gifts are sometimes. And it's really embarrassing as pastors sometimes to have to say, do you know what?
that really isn't your gift. Sometimes we need to have a real look over our shoulder and see who we are and let other people recognise who we are.
If you think you're called into the ministry, if you think that you're a preacher and you're not going to a Bible study and engaging in that Bible study, you're not called, or you're lazy. We have blind spots. But we have blind spots to do with Jesus. The disciples were completely and totally blind to who Jesus was. I wonder if we've forgotten who he is. Jesus spoke to his disciples and he says, "Who do the crowd say I am?"
Always a dangerous question to ask the crowds. Who do the crowd say I am?
So Peter, a spokesperson, says, "People think you're John the Baptist."
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me? They think I'm John the Baptist? A hairy, camel-wearing, locust and honey-eating, smelly prophet? Is that it? Is that who people think I am? What else do they say?
Well, actually, some people say that you're Elijah.
Oh, no, you're kidding me. He's been dead centuries. Do you know what? They just couldn't see who he was. And because they couldn't see who he was, do you know what they did? Crucified him. Because they didn't get it. When we don't get who Jesus is, it's actually quite a dangerous place to be. Because we can become against him. When we forget, when we are so familiar with Jesus, and we forget who he is, we can actually work against him. I know in the sovereignty of God that the crucifixion was there because Christ died for the sins of the whole world. I know that. But he was sent there by men who didn't get it. But it wasn't just the crowds that didn't get it. When Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, the one that had had seven demons thrown out of her. He appeared to a woman, Mary Magdalene, and he said, "Whoa, Mary, I'm alive. Go and tell those 11 blokes in the upper room," because Judas has gone, "go and tell those 11 disciples of mine that you've seen me and that I'm alive." So Mary goes all excited to tell the disciples, Mark chapter 16, to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. These 11 blokes, what do blokes do best? They eat. They're just eating together. So much for grief. They've forgotten Jesus. There they are. They're having a meal together. They're in this room. And Mary Magdalene goes in and says, "He's alive." And do you know what the disciples say? "Don't believe you." So Jesus meets another two people on the road to Emmaus. It seems those are the two people in Mark 16 that he's referring to. So now you've not just got Mary, you've got another two people, male, female, we don't know, but two people come along, and they knock on the door, and they go in to see the disciples and say, "You'll never guess it, but Jesus is alive." And do you know what the disciples say? "I don't believe you. They've been with him for 3 years." They just don't get it. They're just too familiar with who Jesus is. Mark's Gospel 16 and verse 14. Jesus decides, well, if they won't believe Mary and they won't believe the couple from Emmaus, I better go there myself. So he appears to them and says, "Hey, lads, I'm alive. Get it. Get it." He rebukes them. Because they were unfamiliar. They were so familiar with who Jesus was that they had a blind spot. They did. They had a blind spot. They were too familiar. Let us, as I close, just remind you who Jesus is. Because if we get this, this week is going to be a good week. Jesus is the creator of the universe. That's not bad, is it? And you know what is on your side? Have you got a hospital appointment this week?
Have you got the dentists? Hate dentists? Well, not, I don't hate dentists, just hate the pain that they inflict on you. Have you got something this week that you're worried about, and you're a Christian, and you love the Lord? I want to remind you who Jesus is. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of the universe.
In him, says Paul in Colossians, all things hold together. You're only here because Jesus is allowing you to be here. That's how powerful he is. And he's on your side. If God is for you, who can be against you? He's on your side. He's with you. He's not against you. He's with you in the dark valleys. He's with you this week. If you're going through grief, he's with you. If you're going through marriage difficulties, he's with you. He's not against you. He's with you to be with you, to be your strength. He's there for you. He's the creator of the whole universe, and he's by our side. He's the crucified, all-sufficient Saviour. Do you know what? All the sins that you've ever committed from this point backwards are all forgiven. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, that is how far I have removed your sin from you. Your slate is clean. Hallelujah. We don't need to walk around with shoulders like that, with our head like that. Do you know what? There's a verse in Leviticus, which is probably the only good verse in Leviticus, and it's Leviticus 26 and 13. Did I say that? 26, 13. And it basically says, walk with your head held high. Go out from this place and walk with your head held high. Go into university this week. Go into work this week. Go into wherever you go, into your neighborhood. Go home with your head held high because Jesus is your all-sufficient Savior and he has forgiven you completely and totally and utterly. Because he loves you truly, madly, deeply. I wonder if we forget that. He's for us. He's not against us. He's on our side. Jeremiah 32:17, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Remember when Jesus was walking and he said to the fig tree, yeah, no figs on you, die. Don't do that this week, it'll be a bit awkward. But what Jesus taught the disciples, he says, if you've got a problem as big as a mountain, speak to the mountain, say to the mountain, this is what it says in Mark's gospel, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. What difficulties, what obstacles do you have? Are we just going to be the same as those who don't know Christ? Or are we going to stand chest out, head up, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and speak to the problems. Mountain, go in the name of Christ. Let us walk with heads held high, because Christ is on our side. Finally, you know the Apostle Peter? You know, he just didn't get it. How many times did he deny Christ? And when he was in the upper room with the other 11, he was leading them. And he didn't get it. He didn't think that Jesus was really alive. But you know, there was a transformation in his heart. Because on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and he preaches. And 3,000 come to know the Lord. His familiarity with the humanity of Christ was transformed as he began to see that Jesus is the all-sufficient Saviour. He's the all-powerful one. He's the creator of heaven and earth. I love the smell of bread. I do. And I was in Northwich this week visiting my family, visiting my sister. And I went past Roberts' Bakery and I wound down the window. Well, I didn't. I pressed the button. But, you know, I saw the bread going round because my eyes have been opened. Well, I've got my glasses on. The blind spot needs to go in relation to who Jesus is, the bread of life. I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to see Jesus afresh, not as being familiar, perhaps as someone who we've just got used to worshipping, but actually seeing him as he truly is, the risen Christ, the ascended one, our saviour and our friend, the all-sufficient one, who loves us completely and totally, truly, madly, deeply. He does. Have a good week. Have a good week. Let's walk out of here with heads held high. Let's pray together before we sing. Jesus, forgive us for perhaps sometimes not recognizing you as God, as Lord, as Saviour, as friend, as mighty King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, forgive us if we fail to see that you are the all-powerful one, the creator of heaven and earth. Lord, forgive us if we forget that you were the one who walked on water, who raised the dead, who made the blind see, who forgave sins completely and totally. Oh, Lord, give us a new glimpse of who you are. Give us that glimpse of who you are. Give us afresh that understanding that you are mighty to save. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would help us in our familiarity, remove our blind eyes and help us to see you afresh today, this week. Lord, help us to give you our problems, our burdens, our worries, our concerns. And Lord, help us to walk with those heads held high because we are clothed in your righteousness right before you. And Lord, that's good news. And so we give you thanks for who you are to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.